Towards the early part of his ministry, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, which is his basically his discourse or his drash on the Torah, on the Old Testament itself, the Torah and the prophets. And today we're going to get to a certain passage of scripture that I want to go through. Turn in your Bibles and get ready, because we're going to be kind of be diving into a lot of scriptures, but we're going to base ourselves in Matthew chapter 6. So go to Matthew chapter 6 and get ready. But I want you to think about this. If I were to tell you and say a certain word, it carries a certain connotation, doesn't it? If I say something in our English language with our English mindset, we have a certain connotation that we put to that word or to that phrase. Well, today what we're going to talk about is treasure. Treasure. So when you think of the word treasure, you don't have to say it out loud, but what comes into your mind? For me, a couple of things pop in my head. Maybe it's my age, maybe it's the generation I grew up, but I immediately think about pirates, okay? And I immediately think about, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, the pirate Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp, and I think of this big, big treasure chest filled with gold coins, right? Very valuable gold coins. Maybe I think of, then I start thinking of something hidden. Usually treasure is hidden, hidden treasure, and you've got the X marks the spot, and you've got this crazy map, and you've got to find the treasure, and you dig up the treasure chest, and you get the hidden treasure. That's what I think of when I think of the word treasure. But of course, treasure is not just a pot full of shiny gold coins. It is the definition really of treasure that I want to hone in on today for us. Treasure is something of value that you hold dear. Let me say that again. Treasure is something of value that you hold dear. What is something in your life? I want you to think about this as we're talking about this morning. What is something in your life that you hold dear, that's of value to you, and that you hold dear in your heart? Something of great value. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Yeshua, again, these are his words as he's going through his sermon here to all the people. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So as we said, treasure has two elements of it. Something of value that you hold dear. You may have something of value, right? You may have something maybe in your house or something that you have that's a possession of yours that's of value, but does it mean a lot to you? If it doesn't mean a lot to you, even if it's very valuable, it's really not treasure to you, is it? It's got to be something of value, but also mean something deep to you, dear to you. That's what makes it treasure to you. It has to have some type of intrinsic value, but it has to be valuable to you. It has to be personal, a personal treasure. Treasures can be material things, houses, cars. Maybe you have that Harley Davidson that you really love. You know, a beautiful piece of artwork that's hanging in your wall, either at your office or at home or something. But treasures don't always have to be material things, you know, like gold coins or shiny cars or Rolex watches or whatever. Treasures can be immaterial things too, can't they? They can be something dear to you that are also valuable. Some things are, you know, maybe your position at work. Maybe you're a big shot, as we say in, you know, Yiddish, you're a big macher, right? You think you're something. And maybe you're a vice president of your company, and you really have a lot of power or have a lot of positional power with what you do for a living. That can be something of treasure to you. Maybe it's your social status in the world. Maybe you do a lot of things, and you go and you're a mover and shaker here in Savannah or Hilton Head or wherever, and that's treasure to you in a way. Maybe it's your popularity. Maybe you're in school and you're really popular. You know, you're the captain of the football team, or you're the head cheerleader, or you're the homecoming king or queen. That's treasure to you. You hold something like that. It's valuable and it's dear to you. These are all earthly treasures. And Yeshua, in this dissertation, in this drash he is warning us against accumulating these material and immaterial treasures and putting too much emphasis on them. There's nothing wrong with having things, whether it's material or immaterial. There's nothing wrong with these things, but when we place too much emphasis on it, it gets to be a problem. And we're building up treasures on earth. And it's a problem if we build up treasures on earth. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs, in that middle section there of the Old Testament. Now, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2 says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." What is vanity? When you boil it down, vanity is chasing after these type of temporal things, these type of temporary things, whether it's material or whether it's immaterial. You can vainly pursue at work that positional title. I want to be the president of my company. And you could be a complete workaholic, place too much emphasis on it. That is certainly your treasure, is it not? You're putting value on that, and it's meaning something to you. But the problem is that is it, with that is, in a sense, the moths and the dust and the rust go in there, and it destroys it over time. It's temporal. It doesn't last for eternity. It's just temporary. How long do we live on this planet? You know, back in the day, 2,000 years ago, maybe you lived for 50 or 60 years. Now, people can live into their 80s, even into their 90s. You know, they always have the who's the oldest person in the world, and it's some like 115-year-old lady that drinks wine every day in France, you know. But we don't live that long still. So it's temporary. The things we can accumulate, whether material or immaterial, they're temporary in this world. They don't last. And what the author of Ecclesiastes, which is King Solomon, is saying is these things are going to pass away. These things are vain pursuits. When you're putting too much emphasis on them, they're vain pursuits. Why? Because they're pursuits after your own interests. They're pursuits after your own interests. Now, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, as I said. He was credited to be the wisest man in the world, wisest man who ever lived. And if you go through if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, there's certain, you know, sections of the book, and he goes through all types of vanities in the book, chapter by chapter. Some of the vanities he talks about, the vanity of wisdom. It's an immaterial thing, right? Oh, I've got so much wisdom. People think I'm important because I know a lot about the world, or I have all this book knowledge, or I have 5 PhDs, or whatever it is. The vanity of self-indulgence. The vanity of toil. You know, toil is working. So people can be workaholics, as I mentioned. A lot of people in this world are workaholics. Do you work with workaholics? Are you a workaholic? You don't have to raise your hand. But sometimes we can all get into that rut of being workaholics. That's the vanity of toil. The vanity of wealth and honor. It is nice for people to recognize you, isn't it? It's nice for people to say, wow, you're so great. You're so awesome. And, you know, then we have this like false humility. Well, oh, come on, stop. I'm not that great. But, you know, you're liking it when they say that. You're liking when they say that you're great. It's a false humility. It's a vain pursuit, right? It's honor. You like that honor and wealth, of course, wealth. You know, they always say you can't take it with you when you go. And I don't know why, but this is my age, but I always think of the movie Terminator when I think of that. And in the movie Terminator, if you've seen, there's like a million Terminator movies. In fact, I think Arnold's coming out with a new one this summer, but and he's like 80 years old now or something. But anyway, the first Terminator movie, I don't know why I keep thinking about this, but like, you know, when they come to the world, you know, if you've ever seen Terminator, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't worry about it. It's not worth your time. But when they come into the world, they're totally naked. Like they have no possessions with them when they come into this world. And then when they leave and they're totally naked. That's how we are. We're born and, you know, you're born in your birthday suit. You're born totally naked. You didn't bring anything from the womb. And when you leave this world, you leave without all the riches you acquired. You leave without all those cars. You leave without all that positional power you had or that vice presidential title. You know, the pharaohs in ancient Egypt, they like to be buried with all their possessions. You know, in Judaism, a lot of times we'll bury a religious Jew with their tallit on, but that's just a nice gesture thing. I'm talking about, you know, King Tut wanted to be buried with all of his gold coins and everything, and he can't take it with him because they thought they could take it with them in the next world. Well, you can't. It was still there. It's and then somebody finds it 1,000 years later as they're digging up his grave, you know. You can't take anything with you. It's temporary. It's a vanity. It's a vanity of vanities. And that's the key point. Treasures on earth are those things that fade away or are temporary. They're here for a while. They seem very real to us, but they are not long-lasting. This is the stuff Yeshua is talking about. These are the things that can be stolen from you. These are the things that moths and dust can destroy. Do you ever have something that, you know, you put it in your closet or you put it somewhere up in the attic and then you go to see it like 20 years later and it's like totally ratty and messed up? Or you know how paper can yellow over time and get really brittle? They found, you know, all these old Torah scrolls in different places and they're just not very taken care of. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls 60 or something years ago, they were very well preserved, but, you know, the scroll, the book of Isaiah, was like cut up and like half of it was missing. This is temporary. These things are temporary. Of course, the Word of God is eternal, but I'm talking about the paper that it was written on. Moths and dust can destroy these things. You could be the most beautiful person in the world. You know, you could be one of those supermodels. You know, you make millions of dollars. I was just reading the other week that Gisele Bündchen, you know who she is, right? This Brazilian supermodel. She is, if you ever go to Brazil, it's so funny. When you fly into Brazil and you fly into Sao Paulo, the first thing you see as you leave the airport is this big, huge picture of Gisele Bündchen. And it's like, I don't know, it's like an underwear commercial. But anyway, the point is, she's like the best thing that ever happened to Brazil. So like she is their model, their supermodel. She made the most money of any model in the world. I think she made the most money of anybody in the world in like a personality, like $34 million. She made more money than her husband, you know, Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Millions and millions of dollars. She's on the cover of all these magazines. But guess what? In 20 years, she'll not be as beautiful because we age. It's temporary. Our looks, our physical appearance is temporary. This is something that you're collecting on earth. This is a treasure on the earth. And you could be the most beautiful person, but it's only temporary. It will fade away as you get older. Or, of course, power. You look at the great kingdoms in the world throughout history. Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon. You know, I mean, they acquired vast areas of the world. They had huge power. The Roman emperors. Rome. Rome's gone. Genghis Khan is gone. You know, we barely even know who he is if not for history books. And a lot of times we don't know a whole lot about him. All great and powerful men, but their kingdoms rose and they were great, and but they fell. They were only temporary. So look at Matthew 6:20. We'll continue on now. So Yeshua said, don't do that. Don't build up treasures on earth where things are only temporary. What does he say here? He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, even the most fortified bank in the world is penetrable, right? People can break in. Hackers can break into the most complex system. I just got another letter this week from my bank. We're so sorry, but whoever, Target or somebody, has informed me that there's been a breach. We're going to send you a new card because they got your credit card information. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, this is like the fourth time it's happened to me, but it's crazy. We are, you know, these things are very real and anybody can get in. Even in the most heavily fortified area, people can penetrate in this world. The key point here is we don't want to lay up treasures on earth. We want to lay up treasures in heaven. The most precious treasure, though, that we have is our relationship with the Lord. This is essentially what it means by laying up treasures in heaven. A couple of scriptures for you. Matthew 13. Let's turn there. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now think about that for a minute. You find this treasure, right? The buried treasure I'm talking about, all the gold coins. And you're like, oh my goodness. You bury it quickly because it's this old, probably ratty field and overgrown. You go and sell everything you have because you know the treasure is far more valuable than what you have now. Far more valuable. Sell everything. And you go, you buy that field, and boom, you've got all that treasure, you're a very rich man. That is what Yeshua is saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Your relationship with the Lord is like that buried treasure that you find in this field. And you're willing to give up everything. You may not have to, but you're willing to give up everything you have because of such riches found in that treasure chest. Your relationship with the Lord is so much more valuable than any temporary thing, wealth, riches, honor, that you can accumulate on the earth. We should be willing to say, Lord, this is it. I'm going to just give everything I have and follow you. And that's what we do when we become believers. We say, I'd give it all up, Lord, if I have to. Because what matters most to me is that buried treasure, my relationship with you. And Matthew 13, 45 through 46, he goes on. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who finding one pearl of great value, one pearl, went and sold all he had and bought it. This merchant recognized that pearl has extreme value. Our relationship with God, having a personal relationship with God through Yeshua the Messiah, is the only way to heaven, and it is the best treasure you could ever find. Why? Because when you're done with the 90 years or so you're going to live here, guess what? There's eternity to live. And when you have that relationship through Yeshua with the Holy One of Israel, you're going on to live in eternity with the Lord. That's the best treasure of all. Because let me tell you, we think we have riches on this earth, but think of the riches we're going to have in heaven. It's said that there's like mansions for us in heaven, more so than we could ever think of with our finite minds. We're talking about the infinite mind of God, and we're talking about eternity that goes on and on. How do we build treasure in heaven besides having that relationship with God? Well, growing in our relationship with the Lord, exercising your faith, growing more and more. You're here today partly to grow your faith more, partly to get to know God more, to get closer to the Lord. That's why we're here, right? It's not because, check the box, I went to congregation this week. You know, that's how it is for a lot of people. Okay, I did that. I did my good deed for the week or whatever. I'm a good person now. No, we should be here to cultivate and to grow that one relationship in our lives that we will be willing to forsake everything else for, that relationship with the Lord. So growing in your relationship with Yeshua, what about discipling other people? That has a lasting effect, doesn't it? Remember the definition of the treasure. We said it's something that has lasting value. It's not temporary, right? When you're growing other people in the Lord, discipling other people in Yeshua, is that temporary? No, it's eternal, because you are growing them for the kingdom of God. That is a great pursuit in building treasure in heaven. What about promoting peace? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? We read about that our first week when we had the sermon series. Building the body up, the community of the body. What about giving to other people? That has a lasting effect. Again, the key point is treasures in heaven are lasting things that will outlive this world. Remember what we read about in Ecclesiastes and all the vanities. This is the conclusion King Solomon came to at the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12:13. He goes through all those chapters, talks about all those vain pursuits, and then he comes to this matter. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our relationship with God and following him and walking after him, that's what life's all about. Now you have the answer to the question of what's life all about. When people ask you that, what's life all about? It's about having a relationship with the Holy One of Israel. It's about being reconnected to God, that connection that was broken in the Garden of Eden. It's about the relationship, that personal relationship we can have with God through Yeshua and accepting him as our Redeemer, that he died for us. Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Treasure it. Not only is the Lord our treasure, but you know what? We should consider it treasure to be reading God's word and growing and learning. Do you ever have one of those weeks where it's just a really, really, really tough week? And then you sit down with your Bible and it's like, maybe you get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or something, and it's been a long day or a long week, and you sit out on your porch or you go to a kind of a quiet place and you just feel refreshed as you read the word of God. Keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. It is such a blessing to be sitting there reading the Word of God, just meditating on God's Word, and we treasuring up those commandments within us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 now. Here's the last verse today. Here's Yeshua, you know, tying it all in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is in your heart determines what your treasure is. God puts major emphasis on the condition of our hearts in the Scripture. If you didn't know that, I'm going to walk you through a couple of Scriptures and you will know that. It's all about the heart. Because whatever is in your heart determines what you're going to consider treasure. If it's in your heart to acquire all this knowledge or a power or material objects, guess what? You'll do it, but it's from the outflow of your heart. But if it's in your heart to follow the Lord and to seek after Him above all things, what's going to flow out of that? Obviously, good things. Let's go to Luke 6:45. I've read this scripture a few weeks ago when we first started, but it is so appropriate to read again. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It all flows out from your heart. Whatever you place of value in your heart flows out to the outside. A couple of examples of this in the scripture. Genesis 6:5. Early on, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and what? And that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It started in their heart, and what happened? Such evil was happening on the earth, God was like, I'm done here. And the flood happens, we know, a few chapters later. God could have used any type of wording possible. What did he say? Because of the thoughts of their heart, this is happening. It's all flowing from the heart. Now let's look at Psalm 14:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. It starts with the heart. The fool is defined as someone whose heart doesn't acknowledge God. That's very interesting. Now, one more scripture on this. Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his what? Heart. His steps do not slip. Because of what's in his heart, his steps don't slip. The outward. You got your heart right, your steps will follow. Meaning, the way you conduct your life, the things that you do in your life. Again, it's flowing from the heart. You know, I love music. It's one of my hobbies. I play music. I'm a musician, and I always love listening to songs. I love worship songs. I love, you know, Christian radio and everything. And there's a great song on the radio right now that I just, boom, it hit in my mind and in my heart as I was doing this message. And it's from a musical act that I really like called Third Day. Has anybody heard of Third Day before? Yeah, there's a song out on the radio now called Soul on Fire, right? There's a new song. It's a really great song. And the first line of the song, have you ever listened to the song? The first line, and this is, remember how I say in Scripture, God repeats things for emphasis? Well, the first line of the song, they repeat it twice, what they say here. And the first line says, God, I'm running for your heart, for your heart. And the whole point of the song is, he wants to be on fire for God. You know, he wants to be a soul on fire. But what does he say at the beginning? I'm running, Lord, for your heart. Because I know that the heart is where it all starts. I know to connect with you, Lord, in your heart, and to have my heart seek after your heart, that's the right approach. That's the beginning of getting that treasure. If I'm treasuring the Lord in my heart, my soul's going to be on fire, first of all. But my steps are going to be ordained by the Lord. I'm going to be building that lasting treasure. Are we running for God's heart today? Maybe you're running to do good, right? Maybe you're running to help out in the synagogue. Maybe you're running to just be the best father you can be. Maybe you're running to be the best college student you can be, whatever it is. Doing good and living a good life, it sounds very noble, and it is very noble. But it's really not what it's all about. You know, the Pharisees were criticized for being whitewashed tombs, for having all the outward stuff looking good. They had it backwards, didn't they? The outward stuff was great, but inside they were filled with turmoil, and there was evil in their hearts, some of them, some of the Pharisaical leaders. Some of the other Pharisees, like Nicodemus, like some of these other guys, they really had the right heart. But it's all about what's in your heart. Running after a relationship for the heart of God the Father and His Son Yeshua, that should be our priority. Because we know we'll be building good treasures that last, that don't get destroyed, that get through this world to the next world. We know it's going to start with our heart and it's going to flow out. And it's about that relationship. You can have everything taken away from you in this world. Everything. But not your relationship with God. That's the one thing that they cannot take away from you in this world. If you think about somebody that, you know, you read the stories, and many of us, some people have, I don't have family members that went through the Holocaust, but some people do. They lost everything, didn't they? They lost everything through the Holocaust. Land, money, power. Like I've said this many times, German Jews were the most assimilated, the most wealthy Jews in Europe, and they lost it all. They were the beginning of, I mean, all of European Jewry was in trouble with the Holocaust, but the German Jews especially, it started there. They lost everything. They can take everything away from you, but not your relationship with God. Think of somebody who's lost all their earthly possessions in a tornado. Have you ever seen like the news where Oklahoma City gets like ravaged by a tornado, or some small town somewhere, or a hurricane in Florida? I'm from Florida. We have hurricanes in Florida. Everything can be wiped out in a matter of seconds, like literally seconds. But they can't take away what's in here, that relationship with the Lord. We work so hard to get things, and we work so hard to strive in this world. And I just want to say, I'm not against working hard. I try to be a very hard worker. I try to instill that in my kids. It's important to be a hard worker, but again, it goes by the heart, right? Are you doing, you know, I work hard because I know God's provided this for me, and I want to be a good steward, and also I want to be a good witness at work, and I want to make money for my family, obviously, to feed my family. Those are all good intentions, good heart, good things produced. But again, if you're working hard at work for the sake of working hard and acquiring things and getting positional power, that's fine. You know, what I always say is have the right heart. Do the right things at work, and those things will come to you anyway. They will come to you anyway. But don't seek after them and make them your treasure, because that's what Yeshua is talking against. And possessions are not bad. Remember, it says the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Money is not evil. Oh, the money, I read in the scripture, money is evil. I got to go sell all my possessions and go live as a monk somewhere. No, you don't have to do that. There was rich people in the Bible, and Yeshua didn't say, give all that away. No, he didn't say that in a lot of cases. People still had their wealth, and they used a lot of their wealth to bless other people too. So money is not bad. The love of money is bad, right? Well, kind of what we're talking about. Working hard is not bad, but the love of working hard to further yourself is bad, as far as it's temporary. It's going to go away. The things that won't go away are a relationship with the Lord and our heart for God. And you know, because what's happening there is we're replacing God as the center of everything with us as the center of everything. And Exodus 23, last scripture for the day. What does God say? The first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. We can easily make our job, our kids, our things a god. We can easily make anything that's temporary as a god, and that's a false idol. But when we keep God as first in our lives and then do all the things we have to do, that's the right approach. That's what God is talking about. That's what Yeshua is trying us to get today about laying up treasures in heaven. So ask yourself as we close, what are you holding dear? What's a treasure to you? What is something of value that you hold dear? Do we have our priorities straight? Are you thinking the Lord? Or are you thinking, well, you know, I really love working all the time and where I'm at and all this and everything. And, you know, if you have your focus not on the Lord, I would submit that your priorities are a little out of whack and you're laying up treasures on earth. So think about where you're laying up those treasures. Let the Lord minister to you. Maybe you've been laying up too much treasure on earth and accumulating too much treasure here. And again, you could be working hard at the synagogue. You could be doing all this great stuff. But are you laying up treasures here, or are you laying up treasures in your heart? I'm not saying don't do things for the synagogue. Believe me. We need help. We all, many hands make light work, is the motto here. But remember, it has to be with the right heart. And then you're laying up treasures in heaven and not earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you teach us, Lord God. You're our rabbi, Yeshua. You teach us how to view things. You know, we could just live the exact same life. And in one way, we're laying up treasures on earth. In one way, we're laying up treasures in heaven. Lord, help us to lay up treasures in heaven where our heart is right at first. And then we could do all those things because we're doing it with the right intent. We're doing it with the right heart. And we're building for the kingdom of God rather than building for our own kingdoms. So, Lord, I pray that you would just challenge each and every person here. Convict them, Lord God, of where they are with their lives. If we're laying up treasures in heaven or on earth today. And help us, Lord God, to run after your heart. To seek first your kingdom. And all these things will be given. But the key is to seek first your kingdom, Lord God. I pray right now that people's hearts will be changed, Lord God. That people will be convicted. And that they would realize, Lord God, that we need to lay up those treasures in heaven with you. We thank you, Lord. We pray you continue to bless us and guide us, Lord, and direct us. As a congregation and individually, as we go out there today, even after Shabbat, as we go and live our lives next week, help us to remember these things and to lay up treasures with you, Lord, in heaven. We thank you, God, and we praise you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.